So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Folks, it is Tommy Freedom, and for the second week in a row, I have interrupted my Off the Beaten Path series to deal with the impending Trump presidency. Now, folks, we are into the second week since Donald Trump took this nation by storm and really surprised the liberals beyond more than what they were expecting. Got a few things I want to go over with you today regarding this, because already, in 2 weeks, folks, within the first week, we saw a backlash start to rise up across this nation, with people no longer being afraid to speak their mind. And I have some things that I'm going to read to you a little bit later on here that show instances where Americans are taking America back. White Americans are taking America back. European Americans are standing up for their heritage and taking this nation back. And you know what, folks? It's about damn time. Now, there are those of us who have always been on the front lines over the years, always standing up, always speaking out, never being afraid to do so. But many people are simply afraid to do this. And as I told you last week, a huge portion of the voters that voted for Trump and put him into office were people who supported him and his ideas, but were simply too afraid to speak out and put signs in their yard, to put stickers on their cars, or to answer polls truthfully, because they thought that somehow someone would find out that they supported Trump and didn't want to be called a racist. Well, this country is full of closet racists. Well, not racists. That is what the media calls us. We are racialists. And everyone should be a racialist. Everyone should be proud of their race, of their heritage. It doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're Hispanic or Asian. If you have a heritage that you can be proud of, you should be proud of it. So yes, there should be black power. There should also be white power. Black lives matter. White lives matter. It works both ways, folks. You can't have it one way. It's got to be inclusive for everyone. If black lives matter, then so do Asian lives, so do Hispanic lives, and so do white lives. All lives matter. And now, what's starting to happen is Americans are waking up. They're opening their eyes, folks. They're wiping the sand out of their eyes, and they're saying that it's okay to be white. It's okay to be proud of your heritage. It's okay to be proud and white again. It's proud to be white is fine. It's good. and people are realizing this. And it's been far too long in the making, folks. Far, far too long. And I am so glad to see people finally pulling their collective heads out of their rectums and doing something about it. Now, folks, you know that the liberals and the Jews are running scared at this point. They don't know what to do. Because for the past 50 plus years, the Jews have been influencing the elections by paying both people running either on the Republican or the Democratic ticket. And they could not do this with Donald Trump. He financed it himself, and they could not pay him off. And folks, they are running scared. Now, for the show last week, I, in the back of my mind, was laying out the formula that Trump might possibly lose and what I was going to do for the show. And, of course, the first thing that came to mind was, it's the end of the world as we know it. And if you remember, folks, I have played this for you before. This song, The End of the World as We Know It, by R.E.M., came out in 1988. But this has proved to be prophetic for the liberals. Because, once again, let me play this for you so that you understand this.
That's great, it starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself. Churn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox, speak, grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear, fight down. High wire in a fire, representing seven games. In a government for hire, in a combat site. Left the west are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down. You're
Did you get that, folks? Did you pick up on it? A team of reporters met with Trump. In case you missed it, here's the clip again. 1988, folks. So for the liberals, this is the end of the world as they know it because of Donald Trump. And folks, he's already started. Now, last Friday, Donald Trump said, well, first of all, let me back this up. Donald Trump has a concealed carry permit. And last Friday, he called for the expansion of gun rights, including making those permits applicable nationwide. Trump has said that the elimination of gun and magazine bans needs to be implemented because they have been a total failure. Now, Trump said law-abiding people should be allowed to own the firearm of their choice. The government has no business dictating what types of firearms good, honest people are allowed to own. And he goes on to say, opponents of gun rights try and come up with scary-sounding phrases like assault weapons, military-style weapons, and high-capacity magazines to confuse people. What they're really talking about are popular semi-automatic rifles and standard magazines that are owned by tens of millions of Americans. And he's right. Now, for a long time, folks, the liberals have argued that guns should be regulated like automobiles. So, what's their problem? Well, Trump had an answer for that, too. He said that a concealed carry permit is like a driver's license. These permits are issued by the states, and they should be valid nationwide like a driver's license. And Trump says, if we can do that for driving, which is a privilege, not a right, then surely we can do that for concealed carry, which is a right and not a privilege. So once again, Donald Trump has taken these liberals, used their own words and their own arguments against them. He just called their bluff. And folks, he won. Well, folks, now I want to talk to you about how Americans are now standing up for their country, more specifically, how white Americans are now standing up for their country. And let me just prelude this a little bit here. Nobody ever wants to push the bandwagon. They want to jump on it once it's rolling, but no one ever wants to stick their head out and have it lopped off. But once someone does that, then everyone else will jump on board. And Donald Trump has pushed that bandwagon. Now, I found an article here. It's a week old or so here, because it says it's only been 3 days since Trump was elected. But it gives a lot of examples of how white Americans are pushing back. And at the very top of this article is a photograph of the backside of a baseball dugout. It doesn't say where it is, but in the exact center, there is a swastika, and it says, "Make America White Again." Well, yeah, it should be. Now, immigrants have been receiving letters under their doors saying that they will be evicted because their building is now white Americans only. Well, yes, people want their buildings back. They want their country back. Now, something was left under someone's door in Queens, New York. It's not as far away as you think. We have to stand together and help each other. Well, that's true. Now, in Maple Grove, Minnesota, district officials for one of the schools there said that they are absolutely horrified by racist graffiti scrawled in a bathroom. Huh. Middle school students started chanting "Build a Wall" in their cafeteria in Royal Oak, Michigan. It's about time. And the swastika is coming back. And in South Philly, Sig Heil and swastikas have been put up as graffiti. And let's see, what else do we have here? Physical, verbal, and written attacks on people who appear Muslim. Let's see, there's, oh yes, a Muslim Student Association's prayer mom said not even 24 hours after the election, someone saying, "As I'm stopped at a gas station this morning, a group of guys yelled, 'Time to get out of this country, Apu.'" Hmm. Someone else says, "I have a scarf on. Passed by someone on the platform today, and he says, 'Your time's up, girly.'" Uh-huh. Another one says, "Not even 24 hours yet. My friend's sister, who is Muslim, had a knife pulled on her by a Trump supporter while on the bus." Yeah, I don't believe that. But here's a good one. "My mom literally just texted me, 'Don't wear the hijab, please.' And she's the most religious person in our family." Well, yeah. We don't want that crap here. People are starting to fight back. San Jose State University sent an email that a woman had her hijab ripped off by a white male with such force it choked her as she fell. Well, she should not have been wearing it. This is America. We don't wear hijabs here. Now, gay couples are being told their marriage will soon be overturned. Awesome. This was placed on a car somewhere here in North Carolina. "Can't wait until your, quote-unquote, marriage is overturned by a real president. Gay families burn in hell. Trump 2016. Well, that sounds good to me. We see that Mexicans are being taunted about being deported to the other side of the wall. And what do we have here? Got some tweets. "I walked into a room, my heart aches with pain." Yeah, that doesn't really add anything here. Oh, "This just happened. Trump supporter tossed water in her face after threatening her and to build the wall. Day one of Trump. White students in DeWitt, Michigan formed a physical wall of students to block Latino kids from entering the school." Well, you know, folks, it's about time that this is happening. The peasants are pissed. They grab their pitchforks and they're fighting back. Now, in Durham, North Carolina, the words "Black lives don't matter and neither does your vote" was painted on a wall. Well, that sounds good to me. Now they're saying here we're going to have a return to the Jim Crow days with colored and whites only signs being posted over water fountains at First Coast High School, Jacksonville, Florida. It's coming about, folks. The pendulum has swung so far to the left, it cannot swing any further, and it's coming back. And it's coming back very, very quickly. They're saying here that colored and whites-only signs were in fact placed on the water fountains at that high school in Florida. Huh. Someone else says a resurgence of the N-word in both verbal and written form. Uh-huh. Well, there's no such thing as the N-word. I mean, if you're afraid to speak an entire word, whether it's the N-word or the F-word or the L-word or the X-word or whatever it is, you know, come on, folks. These are words. Now, a principal somewhere in Pennsylvania, I don't see it where it is, he admitted that white students were chanting, "Cotton picker, you're a nigger, Heil Hitler." Well, someone else says, if that's not enough, okay, this is the icing on the cake, folks. A black baby doll was found hanging from a rope in a college elevator in Buffalo, New York. And someone tweeted, "This baby doll was found in a freshman elevator last night. I don't care who you are, what your beliefs are, this is awful." Well, you know, that's what happens, folks. When you are pushed to that extent, to where you start to push back, this is what's going to happen. And that is the result. Decades upon decades of white oppression. There's no black oppression. It's white oppression. There's no Hispanic oppression. It's been white oppression. No Asian oppression. It's been white oppression. No straight, no homosexual oppression. It's been straight oppression. The white male has been oppressed for the past six decades. And now we're starting to push back. And the other side doesn't like it. It's fine when they push us. It's fine when they oppress us. But when we start to push back and to fight back, they don't like it. Well, folks, they're not going to like it even more because this is only the beginning. These were taken 3 days after Donald Trump was elected president. Now, don't think this is going away, folks. It's not. It's going to continue, and it's going to rise. It's going to escalate. It is going to continue. We have been oppressed for so long that now we finally have a voice and we can speak out. This is not going to go away. It's not. It's going to continue and it's going to get stronger. Our voice will get stronger. And this has been far too long in the makings, my friends. We should have done this 20 years ago. But we didn't. We had a great man in the White House, Ronald Reagan. He was succeeded by his vice president, a complete Jewish boob by the name of George Bush. And he set us back. Now, since then, we have been sliding further and further backwards. We have now found ourselves back in the 1960s, where all of these Negroes are now feeling their oats and speaking out and rioting. Well, it's going to be a little bit different this time, folks, because we're not going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore. We're going to stand up, and we're going to fight back. Now, George has been wildly waving his paws around here for the past 3 minutes. I know, George, we're not taking a commercial break today. No, I'm going to keep going. Now, just as I say, it's time for us to keep pushing. We're seeing the same thing happen from the other side, but we see this happen all the time. We've seen the riots. This will continue to happen, folks, until someone pushes back. And it is inevitable. I have said this before. At some point, these violent protesting Negroes are going to pull their garbage in the wrong neighborhood. And someone is going to open up on them. And when it does, that line will have been crossed. That bridge will have been burned, and there is no going back. And you better think long and hard about this, folks. When that line is crossed, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to stand and fight for your country, or are you going to stand by and watch it burn? I'm not going to watch it burn. No. That's exactly why the Second Amendment is in place, so that we can protect ourselves. Why should we be held hostage by these thugs who smash windows, who set cars on fire, who loot, who shoot, they kill, they rape, they plunder? Why should we as a nation be held hostage to a minority of punks and thugs? We won't. And at some point in the very near future, folks, this is going to happen. It's inevitable. I'm not calling for it to happen. I'm just telling you it will happen. And when it does, you better be ready. And you better pick a side. Now, there are still a couple of months here before Trump is sworn into office. And I am really wondering if he will actually be sworn in. There are three possibilities. First possibility is nothing happens and he's sworn in. Second possibility is that these riots continue and Obama declares martial law and keeps himself in power and refuses to turn it over. The other is that someone actually takes Donald Trump out. Now, that last option, it's not an option, I guess, but scenario, I guess, would be a better word, is very real, folks. You better be prepared for that. And you'd also better be prepared for Barack Obama to not give up his altar. In his mind, he's a king. He's the anointed one. And he's having to step down to someone that he called the leader of the KKK. Someone that he absolutely despises, someone that knows and can prove that he is an illegal alien and that can probably put him in prison for having become the president of the United States as someone who was not born here. It's something to think about, folks. It's a very, very real possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying if it does, you would better be prepared for it. Get your high cap mags loaded up now. Have everything ready to go. In the event that this does happen, be a Boy Scout and be prepared. Now I'm going to give you a slightly different thought. Because we as conservatives are always portrayed as villains by the liberal left. Now, the liberals have no argument for the truth. So I'm going to school you real quick here, folks, on how you can talk to a liberal and explain the difference between liberalism and conservatism. Do it as a story. A man had a daughter who was in college, and she returned home during break, and this father and his daughter were sitting at the breakfast table. And the father asked his daughter, "How are things going in college?" And she said, "Well, things are going okay. I've got a roommate, and she's on a scholarship, but she really hasn't been doing too well. She hasn't been studying, and she's been out partying, and now they're saying that they may not bring her scholarship back. I don't know what she's going to do." And the father looked at his daughter and said, "Well, how are your grades?" And she said, "Well, my grades are very good. I have all A's. Well, I have one B, but other than that, they're all A's, and I have a really good grade point average." And the man looked at his daughter and he said, "And I paid for you to go through this, right?" And she said, "Yes." "So, you paid your way, well, I paid your way, but basically you paid your way through college and you're getting all A's except for one B. You have a good grade point average." And she said, "Yes." So then he said, "Well, this friend of yours, your roommate, she got a scholarship?" And the daughter said, yes, she got a scholarship because she's black. And the father said, well, that's really interesting. So she got a scholarship because she's a minority. What's her grade point average? And the daughter said, oh, she's making C's and D's. And the father said, huh. So she got a scholarship because she's a minority. She's out partying. She's drinking. She's not making the grade. And now she's getting ready to lose her scholarship? And his daughter said, yes, isn't that horrible? And the father said, well, maybe. I'll tell you what. Why don't you take one half of your grade point average and donate it to her? And the daughter said, huh? Father said, yes. Take half of your grade point average and give it to her. Now, take half of the money that I gave you for your tuition and give it to her so that she can come back next year. Now, keep in mind, she's still going to be partying and drinking. She's only going to have a half a grade point average. It's better than what she's got now. Now, you're going to have half of your grade point average, and you're going to have half of your tuition because you donated half of it to her. And the daughter said, Dad, what are you talking about? That is the most insane thing that I have ever heard of. And the father looked at his daughter and said, sweetie, that's called liberalism. Welcome to the world of the conservative. Now, folks, when you explain it like that, the liberals have no defense. So please feel free to share this story with your liberal friends. So that's going to wrap this show up, folks. Now, as far as I know, unless something major comes up, I will be back next week to continue with the Off the Beaten Path series with the state of Mississippi. As always, if you would like to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, out for now. You know.